that's good. All right.
Well, these are terrible.
Yeah.
So I know this.
Bad backstory, which is actually about a someone you know, and you'll enjoy it. But now we have to have a meeting. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, June 12th meeting of the Portland City Council. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Good morning, everyone. We have some communications items, four of them. Number 543, please.
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding solo power.
Good morning.
I'm Mr. Shedrick Wilkins.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome. Have a seat.
It's been a long time since I've done this.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming.
I'm still alive. anyway, Solar Power was a company in North Portland that made these solar panels. Some people claim someday we'd have a solar shingle or a plastic electronic solar panel you can walk on. You know, the polysilicons, the blue ones, are kind of robust. They last a long time. But I wonder what happened to this thing. Some solar panels have a shelf life, like the little brown lawn light ones. So what's going on here? Why did they not pay back or something? On another sunny topic, right? On July 20th, I was homeless 2 years ago. There's a thing called Compassion Connections at the Memorial Coliseum. It was great. I got some dental treatment. There's outreach. It needs to be promoted. I like hand out some flyers at the Bud Clark Commons. And to tie the two conversations together, I think low-income and homeless people need to know that Portland could serve some purpose to making this new kind of technology, whether it's worth anything or not. I just want to know what the state of this solar power thing is. Does it work? Maybe it doesn't work. You know, I don't know. But homeless people need some idea that maybe Portland is making a contribution. As far as I know, there's a company called Nano Solar in San Francisco, and they're the ones that really are doing this. The idea was that we could use the hydroelectric power here to develop this technology. And the idea is you just have a... it's like a shingle. It's like a roofing material that's made out of plastic. You walk on it, which is entirely different. And when I read the Oregonian, they're not saying the same thing. They're just worrying about the price of it. Not that this could be developed in, I would imagine Los Angeles would be a big place to, like, deploy these things, or we could sell them to L.A. It rains more here than the sun shines. But we do have the hydroelectric power.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, that's a complicated story. There's actually a woman in the back row reading a newspaper who might be more current on it than I am about the latest twists and turns, but it has been a complicated tale. Thank you.
544, request of Dan Evans to address council regarding development of a park.
My name is Mr. Evans. Not here? Okay.
545, request of Chloe Roche to address council regarding community development.
Roche? Nope. Okay.
546, request of Janie Wilson to address council regarding abandoned vehicles.
Morning, Ms. Wilson.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Thank you for letting me address the council. I'm here comparing, do you have my papers?
Yes.
I'm comparing the Vancouver abandoned auto laws. That's the first page, and I've highlighted the request I'm making to add that additional wordage to our city law. So the second page is the Portland abandoned auto law, and then my third and fourth pages are the letter that I'm using to address you today. So the vehicle law that I'm asking to be added to our abandoned auto law states a vehicle is considered abandoned if it has been parked for more than 14 days on a street other than the street recorded as the address of the registered owner. So the way the Portland law leaves that out, then we're subject to the only things we can get a car removed for is if it has flat tires, if it's visibly inoperable, or the license plate is expired. And so the reason I'm here today is my story consists of my ownership of a triplex on 162nd and Harrison. It's a corner lot, and I have the front doors of my units face 162nd. It's a four-lane highway, but we're only 15 feet away from the street, and there's parking out front on the street sidewalk. But on May 6th, well, and to say I'm in Multnomah County, but so I live in one unit, and we rent out two spaces. And on May 6th, Juan Sandoval was arrested for drug possession on his person as he exited his car to pick up a tenant, my tenant in Unit B. And so his car was left in front of our units. It has a stick shift, and there was no drugs found in the car, but the arresting officer, Sheriff Joshua Zwick, left it there because it was legally parked in the street directly in front of the unit, and he left the car keys with my tenant so that she could have the car removed. But when we spoke to her about it, she doesn't drive a stick shift, so she ended up going to move out the end of the month. And by May 11th, the car was still parked there, so I got back to Officer Zwick. And just to explain, we do have three attached garages to those units to the north end of the building, but they use that for storage, and we have four off-street parking spaces. But most tenants have two cars. And then in the front, there's about a third of the street frontage that's taken up by a block of post office boxes, which not only cover my units, but the houses all on the dead-end street, Harrison. So it's a large, about a third of the parking area in the front of the units there. And there's no street parking allowed on Harrison. So I understand that parking in the street is not designated for my triplex, but I did talk to Officer Zwick about how long was Juan going to be in jail and why was his car not impounded as part of a drug bust, and he told me that, I only have 2 seconds left. Oh, so you can read the remainder of it, but I was told that they didn't want the MAX train riders, so they don't mark the car tires to discourage that, and I don't understand why, if the law reads they have 2 weeks to move it, why that would affect them. And so it affected my neighbor, relationship with my neighbor. You can read about that. And so I'm just asking for a response to my request, and you can read the rest of the letter.
Great. Well, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you listening to my dilemma.
Thanks. Take care. Thank you. And did either of the other folks get here? Ms. Roche or Mr. Evans? Okay, if not, then we'll move to consent calendar. I don't believe we have any requests to remove any items from the consent
calendar. Yes, Mayor,
do we have one?
I have a request to remove 558 and to place it first on the regular agenda.
Okay. Any other requests? Then let's take a roll call on the remainder of the consent calendar, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. All right. Time certain. I'm number 547, please.
Appoint Teresa Baldwin, Keeble Giscom, and Pamela Dunham to the Citizens Review Committee Advisory Board to the Independent Police Review, a division of the City Auditor's Office.
Good morning, Auditor Griffin Vallade.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and council members. LaVon Griffin Vallade, City Auditor here. Happy to bring before you these three fabulous members of the CRC for your appointment.
LaVon, pull that microphone down just a little bit. There we go.
There we go.
That's good.
Well, this was a very successful recruitment. Our outreach coordinator, Irene Konev, did a fabulous job. She's very hardworking, incredibly dedicated to this, to our function and the work that she does out in the community. And she was able to recruit a richly diverse pool of 53 applicants, which is a huge number by comparison to what we've been able to draw in for consideration in years past. And we've also struggled in the past to recruit more women to be on CRC. But this year, 29 of the 53 applicants were women, and we're very pleased that today to introduce you to a couple of them. The three new members here today will fill the seats of three CRC members who are leaving, including former chair, Michael Bigham. So here with me today is Pamela Dunham, Peeble Giscombe, and Teresa Baldwin. So I'll begin by just giving you a little bit about their bio. Teresa received her degree in Political Economics of Natural Resources at UC Berkeley and a postgraduate teaching certificate from the Institute of Education, University of London. Recently, she has served as a member of the city's Public Involvement Advisory Council and as a founding board member of Building Blocks for Kids, a local charity. In London, Ms. Baldwin worked as a teacher, ran a small business, offered commentary about education for BBC Radio London, and helped start an educational advocacy group. She has lived in Portland since 2005. Ms. Dunham is a retired foreign service officer who served as at U.S. embassies in Rome, Bangkok, Ankara, and Nassau. Prior to joining the Foreign Service, Ms. Dunham worked as TriMet's spokesperson, also as the general manager of Portland Energy Conservation Incorporation, and as a public relations consultant to local governments and hospitals. She has served on several nonprofit boards, both in Portland and overseas, and presently volunteers at the Oregon History Museum, OHSU Hospital, and at the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She studied at PSU and has a master's in public administration from Harvard University. Peeble Giscombe is an East Coast transplant, welcome, who has resided in the Portland area for about 3 years. He received his degree in criminology and criminal justice from the University of Maryland, has a master's in clinical counseling from Johns Hopkins University, and his law degree from the University of New Hampshire, formerly Franklin Pierce Law Center. He has several years of experience working with at-risk populations in various settings. He's been part of the creation of several initiatives that address increasing equity and accessibility to social service agencies. He currently works in Portland as a mental health consultant. So I think you'll agree with me that this is a very impressive group. We are very fortunate to have them part of this very important advisory committee, the Citizen Review Committee. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to you for questions or any comments that the members of new members of CRC would like to make.
Great. Any comments you all would like to make before taking any questions here? So.
No.
Questions from the council, if any.
I was going to say, Ms., I don't think we've ever had such a distinguished group of candidates for any position, and I'm actually, Mayor, a little upset that Ms. Baldwin, with her background in natural resources, that we weren't able to land her on the Superfund task rather than this. But perhaps when she finishes her service here, we can get her on a Superfund panel. But I just want to say that we are in your debt for stepping up to take on this incredibly challenging assignment. And Mr. Giscombe, we will not hold it against you that you're an East Coast transplant. There are some in this room that think that's actually a compliment. But to step up and do this work at this time is incredibly important. And I just, you know, personally want to say thank you for accepting this leadership position and being willing to guide us in this important work.
Other questions, comments? And is there anyone that's planning to testify on this item?
Yes, we have one person signed up.
Okay. Let's hear public testimony. There may be more questions for you afterwards, but stand by and thank you very much.
Okay. Dan Handelman.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Mayor. City Council members, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I'm here to testify about the nominations this morning, and mostly in an administrative sense. I sent an email out last night that I had tried to get copies of the actual applications for the nominees and was unable to yesterday, but I received them just before council began this morning. It is one of the only two duties prescribed to council in the ordinance, the IPR ordinance, under 3.21.100, that you need to review those applications yourselves before approving the candidates. That said, you know, we have no particular problem with any of the candidates. Reading just the biographies that were originally posted to the council agenda website, it was impossible to tell why the candidates were interested in police accountability issues, except perhaps Mr. Giscombe's background in law. But reading the full applications gave me a better idea. And in fact, with Mr. Giscombe and Ms. Baldwin particularly, they talked about what we always see as an ideal candidate for the CRC, somebody who's had family members or direct experience with police problems and also has worked with the police. That's the ideal candidate. They can see both sides very clearly. So appreciate the opportunity and that there is going to be more diversity on the CRC after some attrition has led to it being a very undiverse panel. The ordinance is very important. The CRC had asked the council to change its standard of review. Last time it was opened up for changes, and that didn't happen. The DOJ agreement calls for the CRC appeals to be finished in 21 days, and they asked for that to be changed, and that there was no response to their ask on that. There are two recent cases of racial profiling that were originally not investigated by IPR and Internal Affairs, and CRC sent both of them back. I understand last night IA and IPR agreed to investigate the racial profiling aspect of the case that was before the CRC, but it was after a 4.5-hour hearing. So there are clearly issues with the structure that need to be cleared up, and it's once the CRC is expanded to 11 members, which is part of the DOJ agreement, when that happens, I'm hoping that the council will look at the whole ordinance and the other recommendations that have been made over the years and not just limit it to whatever the DOJ agreement says in it, that we have, you know, another discussion about what can we do to make the system better. And that said, I'm looking forward to the IPR's annual report coming before you so we can have more discussion about the overall system. Obviously, we're talking about the new members of the CRC this morning, and I'm interjecting stuff about the IPR because there's very little opportunity to talk about this system before council, and they have an annual report came out a few weeks ago, and I'm hoping that it will be presented to you. I don't know exactly when you receive the application from the IPR, but with the hope that they will stop trying to cut corners around issues such as that they have a finding now called cannot prove misconduct, where they cycle, you know, kind of psychically predict what the outcome is going to be, and we're just hoping for more thorough action from the IPR in the future.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Any further questions from council? No one else signed up to testify? Then let's take a roll call, please.
Fish?
Well, again, I want to thank all three candidates for stepping up and agreeing to serve. In the materials that we were furnished, we get detailed information about your background, your life stories, and why you're interested in this work. And I'm particularly encouraged, Ms. Dunham, that you have extensive background in mental health issues, which is something that this city is fully engaged in addressing. Ms. Baldwin has life experience growing up in L.A. With herself and family members interacting with the police. That kind of experience can be incredibly helpful to understand the experience of folks who will come before you. And Mr. Giscombe has had extensive experience in another big city as a parole officer. So you bring the kind of life experience that I think will be enormously helpful to giving wise and considered counsel on the tough matters that come before you. So I thank the auditor for this tremendous slate of candidates, and I am very proud today to cast my vote as aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to thank Ms. Baldwin, Mr. Giscombe, and Ms. Dunham for your service to come. It's a lot of work being on the CRC, as Dan Handelman just attested to, 4.5-hour hearings. But I really appreciate your taking the effort, and your backgrounds really are outstanding. And I just want to also give a shout out to Irene for doing such a good job in recruiting members. That's very impressive, the field of candidates you were recruiting. So these three rose to the top, and I'm sure they will prove themselves to be prove their mettle soon. So thank you. Aye.
Novick.
I want to thank all of the candidates as well, and also to thank your family and friends, because this is, as Commissioner Saltzman said, a huge time commitment, and it will cut into your lives. And we appreciate the sacrifice that you are making and that they are making by virtue of your putting your time into this. I also had to say, Ms. Baldwin, that although you had many impressive credentials, the fact that you're the product of, as you say, a Republican atheist father and a Democratic Catholic mother is indeed impressive evidence that you'll be able to see both sides of any issue. Please vote aye.
Prince.
Thank you for being here today, and this is a very important committee, probably more important than ever now that we are facing the Department of Justice agreements and its implementation, and there's firm commitments on the council and certainly on my part for making sure that we are a city that where we can be proud of our police and we can be proud of our community. So your stepping up to help with this is truly appreciated. I thank all of the 53 candidates who applied and Irene Conniff and the auditor for doing that amount of outreach. That, again, is evidence that people in our community are very aware of how important this committee is and how important the work is. We cannot fail in this effort, and we need to get results very quickly. And I appreciate both Mayor Adams and Mayor Hales being thoroughly committed to this process. Thanks to Rochelle Silver, who is my liaison with the Citizens Review Committee, gave me a thorough briefing yesterday. So I encourage you to develop relationships with the members of the council and consider us your allies in this important work. Bye.
Hales.
Well, I want to echo these good comments, both to commend the process that the auditor's office has conducted to come up with a great field of candidates and for your willingness to serve. And just to add maybe a little bit of context about how Portland operates and why this is so important. You know, we have a strange form of government in Portland in many ways, but one of the ways in which it's strange is that there are only five of us for a city this size. And so organizationally, we depend a great deal on committed citizens who are willing to help develop policy in places like the Planning and Sustainability Commission or the Human Rights Commission. Places where we need specific expertise, like the Design Commission, and where we need oversight on behalf of the community, because that enables us to better govern and to better be connected to the community that we're representing. And then culturally, here in Portland, we really do believe in openness and in good government and in citizens making a difference. So having highly qualified people who are willing to put in the time and attention to these really important matters is really critical to how the whole community works. So thank you, and it really is important. The only other, looking at your applications, I was very impressed. The only other comment I would make is, you know, I really love my job, but for my next job, I want to be a Foreign Service officer posted to Nassau. That sounds like a good gig. Thank you all very much. Aye. Thanks. All right. We are almost at 10 o'clock, but not quite. So why don't we take the first regular agenda item, which is the one we pulled, right?
Not ready. We were timing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. So okay. Then can we take 560? Nope, sorry. I'm not in the right place. 565? Are we ready for that one? Maybe not. Let's take a 4-minute break, by God. Oh, we could take second reading. Well, let's take a 4-minute break and make a phone call or two and come back. I got Commissioner Fish's hopes up there. Yes, I'd love to.